Imagine you're tracking a Category 5 hurricane.
A terrifying thought, honestly.
Right. Well, if seven different weather apps show the exact same path for the storm, you calmly board up your windows. I mean, you buy your groceries and you wait. You know what's coming.
Yeah, you have a consensus, so you have a plan.
Exactly. But if you check those seven apps and they show seven wildly different trajectories, like one says it's going north, one says south, one says it's stalling offshore, the real panic sets in.
Because you literally don't know whether to evacuate or stay put.
Spot on. The disagreement itself becomes the primary source of your anxiety. And today we are looking at what happens when that exact same panic hits Wall Street.
Oh, this is such a fascinating topic.
It really is. We are doing a deep dive into an April 2026 research paper by Emerhan Aktu and Orhan Turul called When Prediction Markets Disagree.
And this paper is brilliant because it completely shifts how we usually think about these markets.
Right. The core mission of this deep dive is to figure out if the sheer chaos, like the total lack of consensus across different political betting markets, can actually act as a real-time crystal ball for stock market volatility.
And we really are looking at a fundamental shift in how financial risk is calculated here. Because, you know, the traditional question everyone asks is always just, well, who's going to win?
Right, the horse race.
Exactly. But this research ignores that entirely. Instead, it asks, how much do the prediction platforms disagree with each other at this exact second?
And what does the width of that disagreement tell us about impending corporate risk?
Precisely.
Right.
To explore this, we are looking at data drawn directly from the 2024 U.S. presidential election cycle, so tracking the dynamics between Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris.
Okay, let me jump in real quick because we need to set a strict ground rule for you, the listener, before we go any further into this deep dive.
Yes, the neutrality rule.
Right. We are treating these political developments exactly as the quantitative researchers did, strictly as raw data. We are talking about sudden historical injections of uncertainty into a complex financial machine.
So no taking sides, no political commentary. Our focus is entirely on the math, the mechanics of the traders, and how all that translates to the stock market.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're treating the news cycle as raw data, right? To understand how they did this, we need to look at the exact sources the researchers used.
And they didn't just look at daily polls or, you know, the sentiment on cable
No,
news.
they went straight to high-frequency financial data. They tracked the implied win probabilities on seven different global prediction platforms.
Right, and those were Polymarket, Betfair, Bovada, BetOnline, William Hill, Unibet, and Everygame.
Seven major platforms, and they tracked them from January 22nd to November 5th, 2024. But here's the crazy part. They didn't just pull the odds at the end of the day.
No, they sampled the numbers every 5 minutes, every single trading day.
Which is an insane amount of data.
It translates to over 15,000 distinct observation windows. I mean, it's massive.
So what exactly were they doing inside each of those 5-minute windows?
Inside every single one of those windows, the researchers tracked the implied probability of a Trump victory, and then they measured the standard deviation across all seven venues.
Okay, so they were continuously calculating the mathematical gap between, say, Polymarket's prediction, William Hill's prediction, Bovada's, and so on.
Right. And on a normal, quiet Tuesday, the platforms were actually largely in sync. The cross-platform difference was roughly 2.7 percentage points.
Which makes sense. I mean, one site might have a candidate at 50%, another at 52%. The baseline level of disagreement was super tight.
Right, because with millions of dollars on the line, you have arbitrage traders constantly scanning for price discrepancies.
And they just bet those gaps closed almost instantly. But as we all remember, this particular election cycle was anything but quiet.
Oh, absolutely not. That baseline of 2.7%, it completely shattered around major unprecedented events.
Like what? What did the spikes look like?
Well, consider July 21st, 2024, the day President Biden withdrew from the race. Prior to the announcement, the platforms were operating near that baseline consensus.
But the moment the withdrawal letter was posted on social media,
that consensus just exploded. Some platforms immediately dropped Biden's odds to zero and spiked Harris's odds, but other platforms, depending on their user base and technical architecture, took much, much longer to update their order books.
And in those critical hours, that disagreement metric, that standard deviation spiked past 13 percentage points, the market literally lost its unified narrative.
It did. The gap went from under 3 points to over 13 points in a flash.
Okay, but I have to push back on the methodology here for a second. If you are pulling data every 5 minutes to capture these spikes, aren't you inevitably capturing a massive amount of just Well, algorithmic noise.
What do you mean?
Like a high-frequency trading bot placing a mechanical bet at 10.05 a.m. and another bot reacting at 10:10 a.m. doesn't necessarily indicate a shift in national political uncertainty. I see what you're saying.
Right. Using five-minute snapshots seems highly vulnerable to basic market microstructure flaws. It's too zoomed in.
That is a very fair point. And market microstructure researchers actually refer to that as the stale quote problem.
The stale quote problem.
Yeah. Basically, if you purely rely on five-minute data, you are mostly just tracking the noise of automated market makers constantly updating their spreads.
Exactly. So how did Aktu and Tarul solve for that?
They solved it by taking those five-minute snapshots and aggregating them to an hourly level.
Oh, okay. So they smoothed it out.
Right. The high-frequency collection actually works to reduce the noise when you roll it up. It smooths out those instantaneous, meaningless bot trades.
But it perfectly preserves the intraday swings that a daily closing price would completely erase.
Precisely. Think about it. If a massive political shock happens at 1:00 p.m., looking at a daily chart only shows you the settled aftermath at 5:00 p.m.
You completely miss the actual panic. Right. So the hourly aggregation of that high-frequency data isolates a really high-resolution signal of real-time panic as human beings digest the news.
Okay, so we have a reliable hourly gauge of how much these seven betting platforms are disagreeing. The next step is connecting a bunch of gamblers disagreeing on the internet to the behavior of a Wall Street portfolio manager.
And that is where the researchers brought in the red and blue portfolios.
Right. Let's talk about how they built those, because it's fascinating. They took 71 publicly traded U.S. firms and split them into two categories.
And they didn't just guess who leaned which way. They based it purely on objective corporate pay contributions.
Literally following the money trail.
Exactly. They identified 36 companies that heavily directed their political action committee money to Republicans, calling that the REE portfolio.
And then they identified 35 companies doing the exact same thing for Democrats, calling that the BLUE portfolio.
By doing it this way, they completely bypassed subjective guessing and defined which companies were truly politically sensitive.
Okay, so once these two portfolios were built, they tracked the returns of these companies on the exact same timeline as the betting markets.
Right, and they created a central metric for this called the spread.
The spread. So the return of the red portfolio minus the return of the below E portfolio.
Exactly. It basically measures the performance gap between these two highly partisan groups of stocks at any given moment.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you listening. Think of this spread as a massive pair of scales used by institutional investors to hedge their bets.
The financial seesaw, essentially.
Exactly. If you're managing a multi-billion dollar fund and the election odds are suddenly thrown into total chaos, you have to protect your assets. You might simultaneously dump millions of dollars of blue stocks and buy millions in red stocks, or vice versa.
Right. You are frantically trying to price in new anticipated tax policies or antitrust regulations based on who you think might win.
And that frantic simultaneous rebalancing is what makes the scales violently tip back and forth. The spread measures the intensity of that tipping.
And the paper's major statistical discovery here is the sheer sensitivity of those scales.
The numbers are actually wild.
They really are. The researchers found that a one standard deviation increase in prediction market disagreement,
which, just to remind everyone, is a tiny increase of just 0.93 percentage points in dispersion across the betting platforms.
Right, less than one full point. That tiny increase leads to an 11% increase in the volatility of that partisan spread.
Less than a single percentage point increase in disagreement on the betting sites translates to an 11% spike in the volatility of these specific stocks. The multiplier effect there is just staggering.
It really highlights how heavily Wall Street is leveraged to the consensus of these prediction markets.
But wait, how do we know this 11% volatility spike is actually caused by the election?
What do you mean?
Well, an 11% spike could theoretically just be a random Tuesday where the whole stock market is having a meltdown over, I don't know, an inflation report or supply chain disruption. How do we know these 71 specific companies didn't just get caught in the broader crossfire?
Ah, okay. Well, the researchers knew that was a risk, so they controlled for broad market fear by incorporating VXY.
Okay, VXY, that's an intraday tracker of the VIX, right? Which is basically Wall Street's general fear gauge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they found that even when the entire stock market was broadly anxious due to standard macroeconomic factors, The specific disagreement on the betting platforms independently predicted an extra 11% layer of violent movement strictly concentrated in those politically sensitive stocks.
Okay, that's a good control, but did they test it the other way around?
They did. They deployed what they called a selectivity test to entirely rule out generic market panic.
How does that work?
Well, they didn't limit their regression analysis just to the RAD and BLU portfolios. They took the exact same prediction market disagreement data and ran it against a broad market portfolio.
Essentially the average volatility of the S&P 500.
Right.
And logically, if the disagreement metric was just capturing a general feeling of national dread, the broad market portfolio would spike right alongside the RAD and BLUE stocks.
But it didn't. The betting market disagreement strongly predicted the volatility of the politically sensitive stocks, but when applied to the broad market, the predictive relationship completely vanished.
Oh, wow. So the mathematical effect is laser targeted.
Exactly. The cross-platform disagreement isn't predicting general financial doom. It is acting as a highly specific, isolated mechanism for election-driven corporate risk.
Okay, so that selectivity test absolutely proves the stock market is explicitly reacting to the dispersion of these betting odds. But the timeline of that reaction is where I think the mechanics get super complicated.
The timeline is fascinating.
Because we are looking at an hourly aggregation of high-frequency data, right? When that disagreement spikes and the platforms diverge, how long does the stock market actually stay volatile before a new consensus is reached?
The uncertainty lingers far longer than you might expect. The researchers mapped the timeline using local projections and Granger causality tests.
And what did they find?
They found that when a disagreement shock hits the system, the resulting volatility in the partisan stocks persists for roughly one full trading day.
A full trading day.
Yeah. And furthermore, the disagreement itself, the actual mathematical gap between the seven betting platforms, has a half-life of about 33 hours.
Wait, 33 hours? I mean, in an era of high-frequency trading where supercomputers execute trades in milliseconds, how on earth is there a 33-hour hangover of disagreement?
It sounds impossible, right?
It totally defies standard market logic. If Betfair is pricing a candidate at 55% and Polymarket is pricing them at 45%, aren't algorithmic arbitrage traders programmed to exploit and close that 10-point gap in like 3 seconds?
Oh, absolutely. The market should correct a pure price discrepancy instantly.
Right. So why doesn't it?
Well, in traditional finance, it does. If you are trading a fixed asset, like a treasury bond, an algorithm will close that gap instantly because the underlying asset is well understood.
The math is fixed.
Right. But political prediction markets are fundamentally different. You are not trading a fixed asset with historical cash flows. You are trading entirely subjective interpretations of unprecedented real-world events.
Oh, I see.
Think about it. When an event with zero historical precedent occurs, like a candidate surviving an assassination attempt or a nominee stepping down weeks before a convention, there is no historical data set for a quantitative algorithm to reference.
The algorithms are essentially sidelined because they literally don't have a model for the event. They don't know what the new price should be.
Exactly. The algorithms have to step back and human traders have to take over.
And humans are slow.
Right. Human beings have to process the news, interpret the complex political ramifications, debate the outcomes, and manually decide how to allocate their capital. Human beings do not instantly converge on a consensus.
So the 33-hour half-life of disagreement is essentially the empirical measurement of human processing time.
Yes. The uncertainty remains sticky because it literally takes society, and by extension the markets, a day and a half to digest massive political shocks.
Okay, knowing that humans are driving this 33-hour delay brings us to the actual demographics of the platforms themselves.
This is where the paper gets really clever.
Because if it takes 33 hours for the venues to synchronize, there are clearly different types of traders reacting at different speeds. Like the user base on a crypto-native high-stakes platform like Polymarket is radically different from the traditional sports bettors utilizing a platform like William Hill.
Absolutely. And the researchers quantified exactly who was leading and who was lagging using a statistical tool called Gonzalo-Granger weights.
Okay. Without getting bogged down in the deep math, what does that actually mean?
It is basically a way of statistically proving who is the trendsetter and who is the follower.
Oh, okay. So if platform A consistently shifts its odds at 1.00 p.m. and platform B reliably shifts its odds to match at 1.10 p.m., platform A is dictating the price discovery.
Precisely. Based on this flow of information, the researchers separated the seven venues into two distinct camps.
The fast money versus the slow money.
Right. They identify price leaders, which consisted of Polymarket, Betfair, and BetOnline. These platforms react to breaking news almost instantaneously, driving the new market consensus.
And what was the second camp?
On the opposite side, they identify lower information platforms,
yeah.
Bovada, William Hill, Unibet, and Everygame. These platforms are the followers. They take significantly longer to update their odds and reflect the newly established reality.
Okay, logically, if I'm a Wall Street analyst trying to model stock market volatility, I should be pulling my data exclusively from the sophisticated price leaders. The fast money on Polymarket or Betfair has to be the most efficient signal of where the market is heading.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the data reveals the exact opposite.
Wait, really?
Yes. The researchers found that disagreement among the lower information platforms is actually a significantly stronger predictor of stock volatility than disagreement among the sophisticated price leaders.
So the dumb money or the slow followers are actually the better barometer for market fear.
In this specific context, yes. Think about the mechanics of the price leaders for a second.
Okay.
They are populated by highly capitalized, hyper-reactive professional traders. When unprecedented news breaks, they ruthlessly compete to establish a new price so quickly that their internal disagreement vanishes almost immediately.
They are basically too fast and too efficient for their own good.
Exactly. The lower information platforms, which take hours to update and are populated by more casual, retail-level participants, possess a lingering disagreement that reflects a much broader, deeply rooted public uncertainty.
It's like trying to predict national consumer spending by asking people at a local diner rather than surveying a room full of Wall Street analysts.
That's a great way to look at it. The analysts will update their spreadsheets in 5 minutes based on a Federal Reserve announcement. They are efficient.
Right. But the people in the diner represent the actual messy, slow-moving reality of the real-world economy. The lag time of the slower platforms isn't a flaw. The lag is the signal.
Because the fast money platforms converge so efficiently, they entirely miss the underlying societal panic. The slower venues accurately capture the true, lingering confusion of the general public.
And corporate risk and stock volatility are ultimately dictated by the real-world actions of that public, how consumers will vote, how they will spend their disposable income, and how they will react to pending policy changes.
Exactly. The extended noise and disagreement on the slower platforms is actually a high-fidelity, delayed broadcast of systemic risk.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? We started this deep dive looking for a traditional crystal ball, a single definitive metric that points toward the future.
But what we found is that in an ecosystem characterized by absolute information overload, you don't really need to know what the prevailing consensus is.
No, you need to focus entirely on the dispersion of opinions. When seven different venues cannot agree on the trajectory of an event, that cross-platform disagreement isn't just algorithmic noise. It is a highly calibrated, real-time gauge of financial risk. The chaos itself is the metric.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the framework Act Two and Tarul have provided extends far beyond just this specific election data. The concept of measuring disagreement is a profound tool for critical thinking and risk management in any uncertain environment.
How so?
Well, when you are confronted with competing economic forecasts, differing analyst ratings on a technology stock, or even conflicting reports on a global supply chain disruption, do not simply average the opinions together and assume the middle ground is the truth.
Right, because the middle might be completely wrong.
Exactly. Look at the width of the gap between the extremes. The wider the gap, the higher the invisible risk you need to seriously account for.
It fundamentally changes how you process conflicting information. But, you know, it also leaves us with one final unexplored complication to chew on. Well, throughout this entire analysis, we've treated these digital prediction markets as incredibly valuable organic gauges of human uncertainty. They are essentially a public utility for Wall Street risk models right now.
They absolutely are.
But as these platforms become increasingly accurate and influential, they are also facing immense regulatory scrutiny. The 2024 data we just discussed was captured during a period when these platforms were operating freely and simultaneously.
Which might not always be the case.
Exactly. If political prediction markets are heavily regulated domestically, or if federal agencies decide to outright ban retail participation in the future, what alternative real-time disagreement metrics will Wall Street use to gauge policy uncertainty?
That is the million-dollar question.
If we legally lose the ability to see those seven different weather apps disagreeing on the storm's path, could whatever corporate proxies we replace them with ever be as accurate? Or will the market simply be flying blind into the next hurricane?